From the wise man and foolish man in Matthew chapter 7 verses 24 to 27, Pastor explains the characteristics of a fool from the scriptures and prays for every foolishness to leave the congregation for the glory of God.
I want to continue with the series that I've been teaching on wisdom and foolishness. And this is a familiar scripture that we have been opening up to. So when I read out the scripture, don't think it's an old talk. You're watching live. It's a fresh word from heaven. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 onwards. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Glory to God. Isn't it amazing? Both the wise and the foolish love to hear the word of God. Both of them love to hear a good preaching. Both of them are builders. Both of them face the same predicament, the same challenges. It was not a different rain. It was not a stronger wind. It was not a greater flood that destroyed one's house. No. The challenge was the same. But one house stood and the other fell. Only time will tell how you have built your house. How you have built your life. One built on the sand and another built on the rock. Glory to God. Can I have that sand and that rock? Yes. So one built on the sand. This is sand. And one built on the rock. What am I going to do with this? Just to keep you awake, that's all. One build on the sand. There's plenty. Many ideas. You want to do a lot of things. Sand is numerous. Plenty, plenty of ideas. But that doesn't make you wise. Here is just built on the rock. One is solid. One solid idea. One solid relationship with Jesus. The other, there is plenty, different, but it is not solid. It doesn't stand the test of time. Or the challenge. So God wants your life to be solid. He rescued you from the pit and placed your feet on the firm rock that is Christ. He wants your life to be solid. So who is the fool? The biodata of a fool. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 1.
Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor.
It's something similar to fish curry, right? Apothecary. No, so just kidding. Ecclesiastes 10 verse 1. Yes.
dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary
yes.
to send forth a stinking savor.
Yeah.
So that a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor.
If your trajectory in life is for wisdom and honor, then listen to this. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth the stinking savor. So that a little foolishness or folly of him that is reputed for wisdom and honor. The ointment or the anointing has a small fly in it. It's a good perfume. Apothecary, it's good fragrance, good perfume. But suddenly it begins to stink. It loses its sweet smell. Why? Because a itsy, bitsy, little fly fell into it. Not a cockroach. Not something huge. A small fly fell into it. And this man or this woman refused to remove it. Allowed it to be there. And the fragrance became a stinking smell. The fool will always say, I will deal with this later. A dead fly falls, he should have removed it immediately. But he allowed it to be there. It's a small thing. Why make a big deal out of it? It's a small thing. It's a small fly. Don't make a big deal out of it. It's a very small thing. We don't have to do anything about it now. Let's deal with this later. That's how a fool thinks. The small fly is little foolishness. Foolishness is to be silly, to be absurd, to take things lightly. Sometimes you allow a small dead thing to stay. A little bit of bitterness. Not a big bitterness, just little envy. A dead relationship. You refuse to deal with it. Foolish people don't make big mistakes. Foolish people make small mistakes. And they refuse to deal with it or remove it. But tonight, treat little things seriously. That is wisdom. A little slumber, a little bit of sleep, and poverty suddenly comes. A little laziness, a little bit of procrastination, keeping it out for tomorrow. Foolishness did not come like a scarecrow. It came like a fly. So how does the fool think? He listens to wise words and says, it is not for me. Maybe I will do something about these words later. He never thinks the words are for him. He thinks it is for somebody else. My son should have heard this. My God, my uncle should have heard this. Tonight, lift your head and say, Jesus, you are my wisdom. I need to have every bit of foolishness eradicated out of my system. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You have to treat foolishness like you would treat any kind of evil. Mark chapter 7. The Gospel of Mark chapter 7. Verses 20 onwards.
And he said, that which cometh out of the man that defileth the man.
That which cometh out of the man that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, viciousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. Can you imagine that? I mean, sometimes people say, nah, Pastor, I don't commit any adultery. I don't fornicate. I haven't killed anybody. I haven't robbed a bank. I'm not covetous. I've not done any wickedness. I'm not deceitful. Not too lustful. Can you imagine? Even God's word says there is evil eye. Evil eye is biblical. And then it says there, blasphemy, and together with that, foolishness. Foolishness. Can you imagine? You would say, Pastor, adultery, I don't do it. Well, it causes pain, doesn't it? It destroys relationships. It destroys families. Foolishness is no better. It destroys relationships. It can destroy families. But we take it lightly. The only answer for a fool is not prayer. The only answer for a fool is Proverbs 26 and verse 3. Proverbs 26 verse 3 says,
A whip for a horse. A bridle for the ass. Mm. And a rod for the fool's back.
Yes, a rod for a fool's back. Proverbs 22 verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Can you imagine that? Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. That little baby that you have. Oh, Babu. My little darling. The Bible says foolishness is bound in that heart. You look at the baby and say, such an innocent, sweet little child. But the foolishness is bound in the heart. And the only way to get it out of that person or the child is by the rod of correction. Every cute child has a little bit of foolishness. Foolishness can even exist in a very wise person. See, the man with an anointing in Ecclesiastes 10:1, he carried an anointing. But a little fly. Are you with me? Just being silly. Huh? In cricket, there is silly point. Silly mid on, silly mid off. Little bit of silly. Even in every game. But you got to get rid of that silliness. You have to treat it like evil. this is like murder. This can destroy me. This can put me behind prison. This can bind my life. This can keep me bound. This can stop me from enjoying life the way God wants me to. It can steal away the destiny that God has got for me. I have to get this foolishness out of me. So every thought, process it, filter it, and then only take a decision in life. Proverbs 26, I think it's the scripture that I said before. 26:3. A horse needs to be shown the whip. Yeah.
26:3.
A whip for the horse.
A bridle for the ass.
Yes.
And a rod for the fool's back.
Yes. To direct it, a horse needs the whip. The ass needs to be brittle and a rod. So I'll have a rod next to the pulpit from next Sunday onwards. I'm tired of preaching now. Instead of, you know, most of the churches, the pastor comes out and lays hands and prophesies and all that. I'll come out with a rod and say, stretch your hand. So be very careful when you come next Sunday. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because you need correction for direction. To direct the horse, to direct the donkey, you need correction. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let the righteous correct me or rebuke me. It is like anointing oil over my head. Lift your hand and say, Lord Jesus, I want to get rid of every foolishness out of my life. I need to walk in your wisdom. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Lift your hands and praise the name of the Lord. Just lift up your voice. You are an all-wise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Psalms 14:1, it says there, a fool says in his heart, there is no God. And the next verse says,
They are corrupt. They have done abominable works.
So you look at the resume of a fool. They say in their heart, there is no God. You look at the lifestyle, it will be abominable. My spiritual father used to say that. They would do, read on.
They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good.
They speak about doing a lot of good, but they wouldn't do it. Because a fool will always mouth off a lot. Speak about doing a lot of good. He will even have a talk show, but he'll never do anything. Proverbs 3:35. It says there,
The wise shall inherit glory,
but shame shall be the promotion of fools. When a fool gets promoted, it is into shame. Can you imagine that? Proverbs 10 verse 10. He that winketh with eye causeth sorrow, but a
prating fool
shall fall. Shall come to ruin. That's what one of the versions says. Shall come to ruin. You look at ruins, you know there's been a fool. Somebody who had a great call, great purpose, but didn't treat foolishness the right way. And leads him into ruin. A fool will never listen to anybody, will always speak, will never learn, will never walk in the fear of God. Open your mouth and say, I am coming out of my foolishness for the glory of God. Thank you, Jesus. When you open up a little bit into foolishness, Proverbs 9 actually speaks about a spirit of foolishness. Actually, a spirit takes over. Sometimes you need deliverance out of that, you know. The TPT version uses the word, there is a spirit, 9:13. There is a spirit named foolish, who is boisterous and brash. She is seductive and restless. A spirit. NLT version says in Isaiah 9:14, the Lord has sent a spirit of foolishness on them, and their suggestions are wrong. There is a path of foolishness, and there is a path of wisdom. There is a building that is taking place by wisdom, and there is another one that is being built by foolishness. The path of foolishness is always in what you call a herd mentality. Path of foolishness. A herd mentality is what the cows have. One cow starts to walk in a direction, every other cow will follow. The cow doesn't, the herd mentality is you don't have your own convictions from the word of God. If one person walks that way, you walk that way. You're not convinced from anything from God's word. What the crowd does, you follow. One cow says, moo, and you say, moo. You look at to see whether the fool with you is praising the Lord. And if he's praising the Lord, you praise the Lord. Otherwise, you also sit like that. Don't sit like Uncle Scrooge. Lift your hand and say, thank you, Jesus. If you are allowing me to hear this word, it is your grace. You're setting me free from foolishness. Glory to God. I want to take the path of wisdom. You should know your own convictions. It's okay to have a different conviction, even as a believer. Romans 14 very clearly says that some people have a problem with certain foods. Some people say, we won't eat this. We are vegan. Don't stand there and argue. That's what a fool does. That's okay. That person is saved. He's born again. He's baptized. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. But he's got a conviction. He doesn't want to touch this particular meat, whatever that meat is. He doesn't want to touch that. That's fine. Don't try to prove a point and talk him out of that to eating your veg cutlet. Are you with me? You enjoy your veg cutlet. You have your convictions. You know, certain believers, they might, you know, do certain things that doesn't agree. I remember once I went for a meeting of Christian leaders. And all of them were sitting there, and I was very surprised. It was my first meeting. And they were all speaking things that I wouldn't. So I felt very uncomfortable. I didn't want to say anything. I just said, I have to go. Thank you. It's good. Good. You guys continue with whatever you guys are doing. But I don't gossip. I didn't say that. You know what? I knew I don't gossip. I don't speak about somebody else who is not there. I said, listen, you guys do whatever you guys are doing. I'll catch you later. Walk off. That's wisdom. You are not a part of a herd. You are convinced from God's word. And you stand by that. You know your convictions. Glory to God, based on God's word. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise be to the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. The herd mentality is something that Proverbs 29:25 says. They look to the fear of men or the approval of men. And it's a snare. They're approval addicted. They're looking for approval from people. They're looking at, I have to please everybody. I can't. One person walks out of the church, and everybody thinks we gotta walk out of the church. Can you imagine that? Move, one cow says. And everybody's moving and walking along. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lift your hand and say, I am taking the path of wisdom and not foolishness. Shout out, Jesus, help me. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So don't have a herd mentality. Don't judge others. Don't look down on others. Somebody who's got a different conviction. Don't even sit there and argue. Are you with me? You be very conscious of the presence of Jesus in you. Treat everything with love. And you just walk on following God's word. Somebody speaks to you about prosperity. And you're kind of convinced from God's word that God prospers. You heard enough and more sermons. And then suddenly you hear somebody speak against that. And then you're like, how can I go that way? What happened? Weren't you convinced from God's word? Some people walk away in the path of foolishness because they are offended. It happens in churches. They are offended. And they say, okay, we're going to go. We're going to find some other church. We go. See, God never moves you into another church on the basis of offense. If you're offended, you have to deal with it. You have to get reconciled. And then you can go. If you want to go. Even if in a workplace, you're offended. You walk out of that office with offense, upset, and then you look for another job and get in. The platform is not right for your blessing. Are you with me? Treat that offense in the right way in that office. Forgive, let go, see the restoration. Then you want to quit that job, quit that job. Get another job if you want to. But not in that spirit of offense. God doesn't do anything in the spirit of offense, always in the spirit of reconciliation. So the path of foolishness is herd mentality, what everybody else is doing, let me do. But the path of wisdom is I have convictions from God's word. Let me see what is the heart of Jesus. Is this in love? Glory to God. Is this one of humility? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise be to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you still with me tonight? This is a topic that we have to take a long time to study. Now look at 1 Corinthians 1:18.
For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
The preaching of the gospel
is to them that perish foolishness.
Yes, to them who perish, it is foolishness. So there is a wisdom of the world and a wisdom of God. The wisdom of God, God decides that somebody is going to be saved through the preaching of the gospel. But it's foolishness to those who are perishing. Somebody who is in the world says, what? God hides his wisdom in what the world says foolish. So if you ask a worldly friend or somebody who does not know the word about baptism, they say it's foolish. It's foolish. What are you doing? The church must have the boldness to look at the things of the world and the wisdom of the world and call it foolish. But what is happening is they're copying the wisdom of the world and coming into church and staring at the pastor when he's preaching the gospel. You know, when I was called to serve the Lord full time, I decided I was going to follow Jesus. My friends thought that was crazy. That is foolish. At your age, 20, some of my well-meaning relatives, elder to me, they said, what? That's foolish. I used to get up, just not on a Sunday, and go to church. I used to go to my spiritual father's house every day for the prayer. Get on the first bus that side and catch the last bus from there. I said, the night. And they would say, well-meaning people would say, once a day, once a week, going for a prayer is okay. But it is not wise to go for a prayer every day. See, that's the wisdom of the world. I remember, a youth group, and I told them we're going to have fasting. And the parent of one of the girls called me and said, what? Our children are of marriageable age. If they fast, they're going to lose their figure. Who will marry them? You have to speak wisdom to them. And I thought, my God, really? Glory to God. You giving to the Lord's work. The world is going to look at that and say, foolishness. Tithe? Tithe? In this time and age? It's an Old Testament principle. Are you doing that now? Yes. You got the wisdom of God's word. Malachi chapter 3, 8 to 11. Bring in your tithes and offerings into the house of God, that there be food in the house. Test me in this. I will open the windows of heaven and release a blessing upon you. I will rebuke the devourer for your name's sake. I will call you a delightful land and call you blessed among the nations. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Sometimes you get counsel from a wrong person concerning your marriage. Starting a business. There are fools that have pulled people out of the church. God's wisdom is hidden in the foolishness of the gospel. Some of you have been taking steroids on stupidity. Getting, the man of God says something, person in authority over your life, and then you're going to get a reconfirmation from some other place, somebody else. And Satan will always send a foolish word to you. When God has spoken something through an authority, Psalms 38 verse 5.
My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness.
See, I am sick because of my foolishness. Leave your foolishness, embrace the cross of Jesus Christ. For by His stripes you are healed. By the preaching of the gospel, glory to God. There is not only salvation for your soul, there is healing for your body. In the Ratri, Yeshuvinte Namathil, Yeshuvinte Suvisheshathinte Shakthiyal, Ninde Saukhyam Ninde Aduthekku Varunnu. Yeshuvinte Namathilulla Saukhyam, Yeshuvinte Murivinalulla Saukhyam. The healing virtue of God flows into your life. Amen. Can you imagine? Jesus died at the age of 33. Foolish? One of the disciples said, why are you going to the cross? Why are you going to the cross? Looks like a foolish thing. You're going to the cross? You're just 33. I mean, you should be, in my opinion, you should be getting married, having children. This Messiah thing was good. Even I tried that, but you know, in my opinion, you should just get married, have children, maybe do some further studies other than carpentry. Can you imagine that? That's how the world will advise you. You're choosing your future, you're choosing your career. And the world will say, listen, this is what you do. God's wisdom is always hidden in the foolishness of His word. If somebody does not have the word of the Lord, they are foolish. If they have never heard from God, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, wise people always submit to God's word. They submit to the ones whom God has placed above them. There's great wisdom in that. Great wisdom. God blesses you through His preaching of His word. Can you imagine that? God hides His power in what the world would say foolish. Can you imagine that? The Lord said to His disciples, you lay hands on the sick, they shall be healed. The other day there was a debate on TV. Is healing real? Can a man lay hands and then... real? Yeah, it's real. That's what God's word says. It looks foolish. Lay hands on the sick and the prayer of faith will heal. Aye. The wisdom of the world is different. But we look at the wisdom of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. A fool is somebody who refuses to accept direction, correction, and instruction from God's word. I repeat, are you still with me tonight? Is this blessing somebody tonight? Lift your hand and say, let every foolishness leave my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. A fool is somebody who refuses to take direction, correction, and instruction from God's word. A fool is known by the company that he keeps. Proverbs 13 verse 20. What does it say? Proverbs 13 verse 20.
He that walketh with wise.
He that walketh with the wise.
Shall be wise.
Yes. If you walk with a fool, you will be like a fool. If you walk with the ones that are holy, you will become holy. If you walk with the ones that are obedient, submissive, you will be obedient, submissive. If you walk with the ones that are blessed of the Lord, glory to God, that blessing will come onto you also. You are known by the company that you keep. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at Acts 24, verse 25. I go through this fast.
And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee."
See? And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment, Paul, speaking to Felix, his wife is also there. And you know what Felix is saying? "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He trembled. He was convicted. Only the Spirit of God can convict you about righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. The Bible says he trembled. But he was a fool. Because he said, "Listen, at a convenient time, I will call for you." That convenient time passed away from him. See, when God convicts you, you obey immediately. A fool will always keep it for later. He will keep it for later. Have you seen that? Sometimes the Spirit of God stirs you up to pray. Immediately, doesn't matter who the crowd is, who the people are, walk away from them. Go where you're alone with Jesus and pray. When the Spirit of God convicts you, that's the time you move. You look for a convenient time later that might never come. Only a fool thinks like that. Acts 26 and verse, I think it is 27. 26, 27.
"King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest."
Yes, and 28 was, Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Almost. Almost. Look at Matthew 13, 23, 16. A lot of scriptures. 23:16.
Woe unto you, you blind guides.
Yes.
Which say, "Whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he's a debtor."
Now 17 verse. "You fools and blind. Whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold?" The fool will worship the created thing more than the creator. They don't know how to prioritize which is greater, which is more important. You fool, you blind. Look at 23 and verse 19. "You fools and blinds, for whether is greater the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift?" Discernment is needed. Which is greater? Luke 24, 25. I close with this.
"Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken."
You fools and slow of heart. See, fools are slow of heart. "To believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." You know, there's something which I always, something that you should have in your heart. every time you read the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, a wise man will look for Christ. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them the scriptures, things that pertained about himself. Can you imagine that? You open the scriptures and you gotta find Christ. That's why you read it. He is the wisdom of God. You have to find Christ. There are preachers who preach 30 minutes, 40 minutes, and not even the name of Jesus is mentioned once. There are people who have taken Bible studies for a year and who have never ever used the name Jesus. Tonight, be wise. Let every foolishness leave you. Glory to God. Do you believe that God's Son Jesus is sufficient for you? Do you find Him in your worship? Glory to God. Your prayer should not end in yourself. It should end in you seeing Him, hearing Him, hearing His word, getting His instruction, hearing His counsel. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Every preaching, every study of God's word should reveal Jesus to you. For He is our wisdom. Glory to God. That is the only way that foolishness is completely out of our lives. Finding Christ. Glory to God. Let's close our eyes in prayer tonight. In Jesus' name. He is the rock on which you build your life.